Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here. It really is. If you know me at all, there's two things about me that you would, I think, pick up on quite quickly. One of them is I see humor in almost everything. I do. I like to laugh. I like to, when people are sharing and talking about it, I'll often, when they finish up, I'll often say something that I think is funny, or they may think is stupid, you know, but I think it's funny. And then the second thing that I think that you'd learn about me is, and it comes naturally from me. It's not anything that I try to do. It just comes naturally from me. I'm thankful for it, too, is that I'm an encourager. I like to encourage people. I like to help them to see something more than perhaps what is going on in their world right now. I hope to do that today for you. I was in a room the other day, and I heard somebody say this: "He's got the whole world." Now, if you heard that, what would be the next part that you would say? Okay, because as young children growing up, we've heard that little ditty: "He's got the whole world. He's got you and me, brother. He's got the itty tiny baby. He's got the whole world in his hands." But this person who said this is my wife. And so I was climbing into bed, so I disturbed the bed, and she said, "He's got the whole world." And I was waiting for the rest of it to come out. And so I finished, and I said, "In his hands." Silence. And I said, "In his hands." And she said, What? And I said, "You just said he's got the whole world." And so I just finished it, "In his hands." And that was the end of it. But what I did know is that I had my next sermon prepared for me right there. Because she didn't know what she was saying, or even... But she does believe it. Yes, she does. He's got the whole world in his hands. And she said just now, "But I believe it." Do you believe that? You know, one of the difficult things about a pastor in preparing for a service or to share something with fellow brothers and sisters is that all the different things that's going on in everybody's life that I don't know, the pastor doesn't know. And so to try to come here as an encourager, I might be this bubbly guy bouncing all over the place, and you may not feel right now to be too bouncy or very bouncy in your world. You may be having some things going on that's pretty difficult right now. And in spite of those things, I believe that you believe this. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brothers, in his hands. He's got you and me, sisters, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got your whole world in his hands. So be encouraged. You know, the whole thickness of the Bible, well, let me take away my concordance. In the back of my Bible, there's a concordance. So I don't want to make it seem too daunting as though this is a huge, huge, huge book that you have to read. See, all this I'm flipping through is concordance. There's Revelation, the end of it, right there. All right. Now, this whole, all of these pages right here, is the Word of God to us. It doesn't seem terribly daunting to have to read all of those pages, would it? Or does it? But the problem is we don't. And so I'm encouraging you, encourager, I'm encouraging you to read the Word of God. Some of you may say, that looks pretty daunting, Rick. All right, I'm going to take all this and set it aside for the moment. And I'll set all of this aside for the moment and just give you this. I'm going to compress all the air out of it. That doesn't look too daunting to read, does it? About 3/16 of an inch. My profession was a carpenter outside of here, so I know that that's probably a little less than 3/16 of an inch, but more than an eighth. So that doesn't look too daunting, does it? That's the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, and the book of Acts. This will introduce you to the Savior of the world through men who walked with Jesus, people who afterwards became a believer of Jesus and his work, and they went around searching out information about who this Jesus was, and so they wrote it. And then the book of Acts talks about those men that were with Jesus and some who never walked or even saw Jesus, but walked at the time of Jesus and heard about it, and their story of what happened in their interaction with Christ, and they wrote it down for us. So I want to encourage you to read those. You could do that. If you took a whole day, you could read all of that in less than a day. And I think what it would do would be inspire you to the point where you don't only want to read it, but you want to eat it. You want to digest it. You want to take it apart. Now, there's a way that I'd like to encourage you to read it, and that would be this. As you read down through the life of Christ here on earth and the stories and people he came in contact with, as you read it, become one of the people in the crowd. If he's in the midst of a crowd teaching, go and set yourself down in that crowd as though you were there, because we weren't. We missed out on that. But we don't have to miss out. Go there and sit on in the crowd and hear the words of Jesus for the first time, even though you've read it before. Hear the words of Jesus for the first time as one sitting in the crowd. If he comes to heal somebody, become one of those people that's either standing around watching it happen, or become that person as though you are the one coming to make that request, and hear how Jesus and what Jesus has to say to you. Because these people were nobody special. They were just people like you and me that he loved and cared for. I'd like to take us to the 8th chapter of Matthew. And when I take us there, one of the things that I love about reading through the Gospels is the personal interaction that Jesus had with people, and that people availed themselves to him. They had a need, and so they came to him with their need. And we'll read some of this to see how he interacted with them. But one of the things I'd like you to notice and keep in mind, the chief thing I'd like you to notice and keep in mind is this. In every one of these situations, notice the confidence that Jesus had in his being able to handle the situation. When somebody would come and they had a need, there was nothing that ever shook him or rocked him, or that he wondered about, or that he second-guessed, can I take care of this? Notice the confidence that Jesus had in dealing with this. So we'll start the eighth chapter of Matthew's. When you read through the Gospel of Matthew, you'll come to the fifth chapter of Matthew, sixth chapter of Matthew, seventh chapter of Matthew, and those are separated off in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, he gave the Beatitudes, and blessed are all the blessings, blessed are is this, blessed that. And then we come to the eighth chapter, he comes down from the mountain, and eighth chapter we'll start reading. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came to him a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, a person with leprosy, we don't see it much. There's some of it over in some countries still deal with leprosy, where it's kind of a disease of the skin and flesh that it just eats your flesh. And there was nothing these people could do about it at that time. Matter of fact, they would set them off aside so they weren't intermingled with the people, other people, because it was a contagious disease so that other people could get it. So they would take the lepers and just set them out of the way. They did not want them close by for fear that they would catch this disease. And so he came to Jesus and worshipped and said this, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And you know what Jesus said to him? I've got this. I've got this. He said, I will. And so notice what he did. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he stretched forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou made clean. And straightway his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, I will. Be thou made clean. Notice the confidence and assurance that Jesus had when he said to this man, I will. I've got you covered. Now, did you put yourself in the place of that leper? Maybe you don't have leprosy. Maybe you have a need today that isn't specifically exactly like this, but it's a need. And so as we go down through these different stories of these people, I want you to put yourself in there, because Jesus is saying to you today, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. Then we'll pick it up here, the fifth verse of the same chapter. And when he would entered into Capernaum, which was a city nearby, there came unto him a centurion. The centurion was a Roman soldier, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And he saith unto him, I will. I like Jesus. You know that? I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Jesus marveled at this, and he stopped everybody and said, I have not seen faith like this, no, not in all of Israel. Nowhere have I seen a faith like this man, that this man said, Lord, all you have to do is say a word. All you have to do. I'm not worthy that you come under the roof of my house. And maybe you feel like that. Maybe you don't feel worthy to have Jesus come and even perhaps to make the request. But you know that there's a need, and here's the man that can solve and meet that need. And so Jesus encouraged the people at that time, this is the type of faith that you need to have and that I love to see. And so how do we apply it to ourselves here today? In that we say, oh, Rick, Jesus isn't here right now. I can't touch, I can't feel him, I can't see him. But if you make a request, just saying a word from a distance, because they were a distance from this man's house, and Jesus spoke. And notice what he said here. We'll go over here to the... I'm not sure I gave this to you. Yeah, I did. I think I did. The 13th verse, Matthew 8:13. It says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed from that hour. So Jesus said to him, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. This man made the request, and Jesus said it'd be done, and the man gets home, and his servant is healed. What a Savior we serve. This servant who was back home, he didn't know anything about this. Didn't know what was going on. But he did know one thing, that he was healed. All of a sudden, that pause that he had, that torment that he was in, had come to an end. Didn't know how it happened. So it's kind of like prayer, that this man made a request to Jesus. Here was somebody back here who didn't know anything about it. Jesus made the request, and he answered and gave the healing, and he sent that healing at a distance to somebody who was totally unaware of it. And so your prayers, you see, it's a prayer that this man was making. He was making a request to Jesus in behalf of somebody else. I like that. You know that? I like that. And so that this man receives a healing because somebody cared about him and brought him to Jesus. So if you have people that you care about and you bring them to Jesus, he's just as interested in meeting their needs as he is meeting this individual's needs. All right, let's go on. We'll pick it up here in the 23rd verse, 8:23. The disciples, they come into a place where they finished a ministry up. They get in a boat and they head across the sea. Now, see, most of these, or not most of them, but quite a number of these disciples that were with Jesus were fishermen. They were used to being on the water, and they knew when they were in trouble in this boat. And so here they are in the boat. They're working their way across the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night. Jesus climbs in the back of the boat, and he falls asleep. We'll pick it up, 23rd verse. And when he was entered into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, save, Lord, we perish. And here Jesus is. Now, if the sea is really worked up the way it is, I don't know how Jesus could be in the back of a boat. This was not like being on a cruise liner, you know. This was just a fisherman's boat that they were heading across. I can only imagine that that boat was pretty shaken up, and that Jesus being in the stern, it said, that he sleeping. I don't know how he could rest, but perhaps it was more for the events that were to follow, okay? They came to him and said, save, Lord, we perish. And Jesus saith unto them, why don't you read it? What? He saith unto them, why are you fearful? Don't you know who's on this boat with you? And for you and me today, why are we fearful? Don't we know who's inside of this ship? Don't we know who's on board? And why are we fearful? And what's he do? He rebukes the wind and the waves and says, and there was a great calm. Just great calm. And then they marveled. 27th verse. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? But he woke up and he said, why are you fearful? But at the same time, he was saying, I've got you covered. I've got this covered. You see all the life lessons that we can get out of just reading through these things, and we see that it's applicable to our lives. It's just as meaningful for those things in my life as it was for those people. They were no more special to him than what you are. Their needs were no different or greater than yours. But what they did, they found themselves in a situation where Jesus was there. Is that untrue for us? No. Jesus is right here with us. He's here today for you and for me. Now we'll pick up over here. We'll go over to the 9th chapter and we'll pick it up. The 18th verse. 9th chapter, the 18th verse. This is a very interesting story because oftentimes something that happened in a person's life, it was kind of set apart as an individual thing that was, took place. This individual had a need and Jesus was there and met that need, and that's how it happened. In this story, what happened was a man came to Jesus with a need, and then while they were going to care for this situation, somebody else enters the picture. I like this story. This is cool. We'll pick it up here in the 9th chapter, 18th verse. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose. Notice the confidence, the assurance, nothing that rocked Jesus. This man says, Jesus, my daughter is dead. Will you come to my home and put your hand on her, and I know that she can live. No words from Jesus. He just got up and started coming. I like Jesus, you know that? I like his way. He just got up. Absolute confidence that even death could not limit him. Even death could not stop him. He gets up. And he starts walking down the road. And this is the interruption that comes. And so while he was going along the way, there was a woman that followed close by. And she was saying something within her heart, not audibly that anybody could hear. But she said within her heart, now if you read down through here, we're not going to read the rest of it. But we'll pick it up a little bit later, but because this woman, she said within her heart, and she was working her way through the crowd. And if you read, not only in Matthew, but there's the same story written out in the book of Mark, but it adds a little more to it than what Matthew says. And so I'm going to bring some of Mark into it. So this woman says within her heart, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she had this, it's called the issue of blood, where she was, for 12 years, she had had blood coming from her body that would not stop. And it said that she had been to physicians, and it said, and spent her whole living trying to find somebody to help her with her situation, to stop this flowing of blood. And so she said within her heart, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And so she worked her way through the crowd, and she reached out and touched his garment. And all of a sudden, here's this crowd around him. He stops, and he says this, "Who touched me?" Now, Mark is where this picks it up. Mark says, the disciples in the book of the Gospel of Mark said, "Lord, the whole crowd is pressing on you." In other words, a lot of people touching him. The whole crowd is pressing on you. And Jesus said, "I felt power go from me." "Who touched me?" And this woman says that she kneeled down before him and explained her situation to him. And he said this to him, "I've got you covered. I've got you covered. Your faith has made you whole. Be healed. I've got you covered." Isn't that a beautiful story? I love that. I love that. Sometimes that prayer, just a silent thing. You ever pray and never pray out loud? Yeah. We do, don't we? We just pray silently within ourselves. That's what this woman was doing. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And she was healed. Now let's pick it up down in verse 23. I don't know if I gave this to you, David, or not, but in verse 23. So now when they finished up the story here of this woman, Jesus continued on the way. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, remember that's where we started, he was going down to heal this man's daughter. Heal this man's daughter? No. Raise this man's daughter from the dead. She was lifeless. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making tumult, they were there basically having a funeral for her, basically trying to encourage the family. And the crowds making a tumult, 24, he said, "Give place." In other words, "Move aside, for the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd was put forth, he entered in and took her by the hand, and the damsel arose. Confidence and assurance. This is the Savior, you know. This is the same Jesus that you know. This is the same Son of God that cares about your and my situations. And then the final thing here I'd like to read comes in the ninth chapter. The ninth chapter in the 35th verse. It says this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of diseases and all manner of sickness. But when he saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion for them because they were distressed and scattered as sheep, not having a shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. A couple of things that I picked out of there that encouraged me that I want to bring out, and hopefully you picked up on them, was this. Jesus had done all this work, going throughout the cities and healing all manner of diseases. And then it talks about some reflection that was going on inside of him. Not verbal or audible words coming out of him, but he was reflecting inside of himself. And it says that he looked out. 36 verse. Can you pull that back up here? 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were distressed and scattered as sheep, not having a shepherd. They were distressed. He saw the sheep distressed. He saw them as scattered and not having a shepherd. For you and me, there was a time in my life that I was distressed. I was scattered. I was far afield, and I did not have a shepherd. But I came to know the Christ. Somebody pointed me to Jesus. Somebody shared the gospel with me. And so the answer to the prayer that Jesus asked the disciples to pray, that prayer came and was answered in July 21st, 1968, in my life, when somebody who was a part of the laborers that were in the field for the harvest, somebody cared for my soul. Somebody cared for your soul. Somebody at some point in some time in your life has pointed you to the gospel. Different times, my grandmother was a great example of Jesus in my life as a kid growing up, that we went to church rarely. But she was a laborer. I could point out a number of people that were laborers in the harvest that affected my life. But we're not scattered and we're not distressed. There may be distressing things that come into our lives as Christians, but those are only meant for our sake, for our good, for our spiritual growth. So God bless us as we go on. Now, if you notice, all of these things that we're, all of these things that I have brought out and showed you, they were all people coming with a request for healing. They would come to Jesus, I have a need that I know you can meet. Will you do it? And he says, I've got your back. I've got you covered. But I only found, and maybe somebody can point out to me, which I'd like to know if you do, but there's only one place in Scripture that I know where Jesus healed somebody without them asking. Everybody else came and asked, but there's only one place in Scripture that I know of where he healed without being asked. That comes into Isaiah 53. We'll pick it up in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We didn't ask for it, but he gave it. And then notice this, because it picks right up into the shepherd. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if you feel scattered, if you feel shaken, if you feel distressed, know this one thing, that Jesus has got you covered. What he did on the cross, he bore our sins on the cross. We esteemed him as though he was stricken by God, as though God is judging him, God is damning him, God is doing this to him. But what we didn't know is that through that act of love that he was doing, all we like sheep have gone astray, and our iniquity was laid on him. I love this Jesus that we serve. I love his love for you and me. I love his kindness when you and I were without and we had nothing. So I'm going to encourage you. If you don't know this Jesus, I'd like you to be encouraged. If you've never met him, read that little 3/16 inch of reading in the Gospel of Matthew through the book of Acts. And I think you'll walk away inspired and encouraged. Read that. God bless each and every one of you. I'd like to pray for you. Pray for us. Father, I thank you very much for the stories here that have been preserved down over time for us to read of these people who were just normal people, but they had a need. Sometimes they were just happened to be there knowing that they'd heard about this man, and they had a need, and they availed themselves to him. They came as the leper, and he was healed. They came as a woman pressing through in the crowd, and she was healed. We also, as sheep, like sheep that have gone astray, you healed us, you loved us, you did it even without us asking. And then we come to you with our personal need and say, Jesus, I enter in, I desire to be and enter in and find you as my Savior. So bless us today as we go out from here. Minister to our hearts. Help us to find the reality with God this week. If some will sit and read these words, that you'll minister to them and meet their needs, that they'll place themselves right in the midst of that crowd and become one who makes a special connection to Jesus like we have never found before. Will you bless us this week? To that end, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, Pastor Ron.
Good to be reminded of these things, because Jesus is the same, the writer of Hebrews says, yesterday, today, and forever. I want to close with a song that I think I didn't know what Pastor Rick was going to share with us. Switch mic. Somebody's turned on, check your battery lights. Anyway, I didn't know what he was going to share with us this morning. I knew it would be a word of encouragement. But when we look around and see things that are kind of discouraging, it's easy to be overwhelmed by them, as I think of those guys on that boat in the Sea of Galilee. If the waves are breaking over the sides of the hull, it wasn't a Boston Whaler. It was sinkable. It would have gone down. And most of them didn't know how to swim. They knew they were going to perish. But Jesus didn't miss a beat. And had he not done that, they probably would have perished, but they didn't perish, and they saw his power. We need to see his power in a fresh way today, too. Well, this song we sang last week, a number of people asked if we'd sing it again, because it asks the question, do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? And that's where we are. The creation's groaning, but there's a new creation coming. And then in Revelation 5, we read, the Lamb is worthy to take the scroll, break the seal. God's got this. Amen? So stand with us, please. One, two, three, four. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy. The Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. Lord, forgive us for all our doubts and fears. Some little thing pops up in our lives and we think, oh, wow, there's no way God can handle this one. And I guess from your perspective, in a way, they are all little things. They don't feel little to us. They can feel huge. They can feel really huge. And yet if we'll get our eyes off the problem, it's not that our problem is so big, as someone said. It's our God is too small. And get our eyes on the great God of the universe, creator of all things, sustainer of all things. As Paul would quote one of their own poets, in him we live and move and have our being. But he says, you don't know who it is. I do. It's God the creator. It's the Father of Jesus, our Savior. Hallelujah. We go with that renewed encouragement and confidence because of who you are, Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So we are going to have final Sunday school and prayer and praise for this semester, this season. So if you can hang around for a little while, we'll head out to the fellowship hall. Right at the beginning of chorus 2.